Chapter 1. Monday, May 22nd, 1944. Normandy, France.
Shh.
Jean-Paul Breslau peered over his shoulder at the group of men he was leading through the western French bocage and into a small patch of trees. Overhead, scattered clouds allowed only a few dots of starlight and a thin stream of moonlight to illuminate their way through the stands of beeches, the earth fragrant with a recent rain. But they were making too much noise, stomping through the woods, speaking in more than a whisper, even laughing. The Nazis were smart. On to them. They knew the resistance, the Maquis, was busy working in this area. American planes were supposed to drop much-needed supplies and arms in this area tonight. Of all the various resistance efforts Jean-Paul had been involved in over the past several years, these parachute drops were the most dangerous. The Germans heard the low-flying planes. They spotted the white silks as they floated to the ground in the pale light. Especially here in Normandy, mostly farmland, there was little area in which to hide. Tonight, his skin prickled more than ever, maybe because Henri had fortified himself with a good deal of cognac before they'd set off. Jean-Paul shouldn't have allowed him to come, but they needed every able body to lift the boxes and get rid of any evidence of a drop before the Germans discovered the spot.
No one's about.
Henri spoke in a normal tone of voice, though he did slightly slur his words. Jean-Paul turned and shushed him again. Don't get us killed.
No problem there, boss.
Henri was always the troublemaker, the least trustworthy of them all. But Yves had taken sick and Gerard's wife was about to give birth. Jean-Paul's hands had been tied.
Stay here. You can be the lookout.
Suits me.
Henri slumped against a tree while Jean-Paul, Luc, and Pierre slipped deeper into the woods. It remained to be seen if Henri would even stay conscious, much less be an effective lookout. His state of inebriation made a risky mission even more dangerous. The ground underneath Jean-Paul's feet rumbled, setting off a rumbling in his chest. The American planes were close. He and his men had to hurry to make it to the clearing in time for the drop. He motioned his companions forward. Even in the dark, he knew these woods like the back of his hand. Ever since he was a small child, he'd played in this thicket, inventing games about pirates and robbers and the American cowboys he'd seen in the cinema. Never in his life had he dreamed that in his own backyard he'd have more adventure than he could handle. They stumbled to the edge of the tree line as the plane zoomed overhead. He gazed up when the cargo bay opened and the box attached to the chute floated to the ground. It struck with a thud, the chute drifting over it almost like snow. Jean-Paul and the others hurried forward. A moment later, light flooded the field from all directions.
Halten Sie!
Jean-Paul's body went cold. He blinked against the brilliance that burned his eyes, though he couldn't make out any shapes. There must be a ring of Germans around them. And in front of their enemy was all the evidence they needed to shoot Jean-Paul and his compatriots on the spot. No questions asked. His breath caught in his throat, cutting off oxygen to his lungs. One man, dressed in a brown uniform with tall black boots, stepped from behind the light and into the center of the ring, clutching a rifle that he trained straight on Jean-Paul's heart. Jean-Paul raised his hands.
What is it we have here?
The Nazi spoke perfect French. Jean-Paul couldn't pretend not to understand him.
My friends and I were out for a walk when we saw a low-flying plane. We decided to investigate. Is that so? And you expect me to believe it?
Oui,
for that is the truth. Imagine my surprise when the plane dropped this box. I'm sure it puzzled you a great deal.
Though Jean-Paul couldn't make out the man's face, there was no mistaking that he was tall,